Chapter 17. Port Sanctus. Vesperiles System. A constant rumble shook the deck as the Colossus's guns kept up a rolling salvo of fire. The battleship's lances spat white beams at the orc ships swarming along the line of Imperial Navy vessels. Void shield generator overload warnings thrummed as return fire ploughed into the battleships and cruisers of the Emperor's Navy. The greenskins had boiled out of the inner system like hornets streaming from a nest. Dozens of smaller attack ships and a score of larger vessels that came hurtling directly for the fleet. Kulik had first taken the headlong charge as further proof that the orcs were not as sophisticated as Price feared. Such rush attacks had been the hallmark of many an orc raiding force for centuries. Lansung had ordered the fleet to split into lines of attack in response, hoping to break through the orcs in a repeat of the attack on the asteroid field. That was when the orcs had revealed their first surprise. Rather than continue on their course directly towards the nearest ships, the alien warships had slowed and gathered their strength, turning their fury upon just two of the forming battle lines. The Colossus had been one of several ships that had borne the brunt of that first attack. The Seraphic Guardian, Terrible, Last Endeavour, Magnificent Fate, and Klaus Magnate had all surged forward in response to the call from Admiral Price to protect the flagship. But now the cruisers were embroiled in a messy fight with the smaller orc ships, while the larger enemy vessels had broken away to concentrate their attack on the second line of Imperial ships. Price was stalking back and forth across the bridge, grunting and muttering to himself. It was obvious that he had overreacted to the first orc attack, but it was too late to salvage anything meaningful from the situation.
"Damage crews to prioritize the energy grid and fight decks," Kulik announced,
adjusting his balance as another shockwave pulsed along the battleship. He glanced up at the screen, showing the void shield generators and hull integrity data. More hits aft. The orcs were very deliberately targeting the main engines. Schaffenbeck had evidently noticed the same thing.
"Do you think they're trying to cripple us before moving in for the kill, sir?" said the First Lieutenant.
"Maybe," replied Kulik, though he preferred a different explanation, which he voiced just loud enough to make sure Price could hear it too. "It might also be that they're trying to damage our engines to stop us getting anywhere near the attack moon. It might not be as impregnable as we feared." "One disaster at a time, Captain," Price said sharply. "The attack moon will wait for us to throw ourselves at it. No need to hurry the matter."
Surprised, Kulik said nothing in response to the Admiral's defeatist remark, but caught a look from Schaffenbeck out of the corner of his eye.
"Helm, bring us 7 points to starboard, and have every other fourth and sixth deck crew moved to the starboard batteries. I want a constant fire once we turn."
Kulik studied the schematic a little longer. The cruisers had broken into pairs and were snaking their way to port, driving off the orc attack ships, but leaving themselves vulnerable to several larger orc vessels moving up in a second wave.
"Have remarkable and justified annihilation come about on the port side," the captain told the comms officer. "They are to cross our turn and assist the forward cruisers."
Price stopped his pacing and looked at Kulik with narrowed eyes. Remarkable and Justified Annihilation were two Luna-class ships, the newest in the Rimwood Patrol flotilla. Although part of the Rimwood fleet, they were also under the command of Kulik as Commodore, and he was technically within his rights to issue orders. The Admiral looked at Kulik for several long seconds, perhaps trying to work out if the captain was being insubordinate, before he shook his head and resumed his stalking. A secondary detonation somewhere amidships caused the Colossus to shudder from prow to aft, the sudden movement almost throwing Kulik to the deck. Price stumbled, to be caught by an alert lieutenant, who had been turning to report.
"Sir, we're detecting a strange energy surge from the orc ships to starboard."
Price pushed himself away from the officer and straightened his coat. Muttering some more, he turned and glared at the damage display on the main screen.
"Be more specific, Lieutenant," replied Kulik. "What sort of energy surge? That ship looks too small to be warp-capable."
"It's like a small-scale transition, Captain. I've never seen—"
"Watch lieutenants on decks 4 and 5 report enemy boarding parties, sir!"
Price, Kulik, and Schaffenbeck all turned as one towards the comms lieutenant who had issued the warning. Then as one, they all returned their attention back to the main screen. The nearest orc ship was at least 3,000 miles away.
"Confirm that report, Mr. Hartnell,"
barked Schaffenbeck, striding towards the comms panel. "More orc attackers, sir," the distraught lieutenant repeated. "Decks 14 and 15.
"Teleport attack?"
Price was incredulous. "Those ships are far too small." "Confirm some form of warp portal excavation, Captain," said the officer at the sensor console. "All three enemy ships have some kind of teleporter lock."
"Where?"
demanded Kulik. The officer changed the main display, and a series of green crosshairs sprang up on a rotating isometric display of the Colossus. There were breaches in seven different places. Blue icons represented the responding armsmen teams closing in on the Orc teleport attack sites from above and below.
"Emperor's blood! That's two decks below us!"
Price took a few paces towards the comms officer. "Tell the armsmen to prioritize the second boarding. They must protect the bridge.
Belay that order!"
Kulik's command stopped Price in his tracks. The Admiral was enraged as he rounded on the captain, but Kulik cut off his superior.
"The first attack is right on top of the flight decks. We need to keep the launch base operational. Officer of the watch?"
"Sir?"
asked Schaffenbeck, stepping up.
"Admiral Price will have ship command in my absence," Kulik told him.
The captain purposefully pulled free his service pistol and heavy sword.
"These are not just for parades."
"This is highly improper, Captain," protested Schaffenbeck.
"Go with him, Lieutenant," said Price, mollified by Kulik's explanation. "See that your captain does not get into too much trouble."
Caught between his sense of duty and two conflicting orders, Schaffenbeck stepped first one way and then the other, gaze flicking between his superiors. Kulik shot him a meaningful glance, and the lieutenant seemed to break his stasis and followed his captain towards the doors.
"Mr. Hartnell,"
Schaffenbeck addressed the lieutenant of the comm station,
"have Sergeant Lavram meet the captain at the top of the command deck, third forward stairwell, with as many men from the upper companies as he can muster.
Have him arm defense squads from the lance crews. They'll be put to better use against the borders than trying to hit fast attack ships,"
added Kulik, as the doors rumbled open just in front of him. He paused at the threshold and turned on his heel to look at Admiral Price.
"Leaving the bridge? With your permission, sir."
"Aye, Captain, carry on,"
Price replied, with a wave of the hand. Outside the armored confines of the bridge, Kulik could immediately hear sounds of fighting echoing along the corridor. Shouts and small arms fire rang from the metal walls. He broke into a gentle run with Schaffenbeck at his heel, heading for the closest stairwell down to the deck below.
"Mr. Cabrio,"
he barked, lifting his cuffpiece communicator to his mouth,
"with the Admiral's assent, have Helm move us away from the attack ships and order all weapons batteries to target them as soon as they come to bear. Let's cut off the flow of reinforcements if we can."
"Aye, aye, sir,"
came the crackling reply. It took less than a minute to reach the top of the stairs, but there was no sign of Sergeant Lavram and his armsmen. Kulik made towards the steps, but Schaffenbeck grabbed his elbow and stopped him.
"We need to wait for the armsmen, sir,"
said the lieutenant.
"That could be another 5 minutes. We've got men fighting and dying right beneath our feet, man."
"All the same, sir, we can't do anything for them yet, unless we want to join them in the Emperor's locker box."
"This isn't like you, Saul," said Kulik, putting free his arm. "Never seen you back down from a fight. Not in all the years we've served together."
"It's the Admiral, sir."
Schaffenbeck looked away, ashamed. Kulik knew the mannerism well. The lieutenant wanted to say something, but considered it too far outside his remit to utter the thoughts.
"Out with it. You know you can trust me, Saul. What about the Admiral?"
"I don't trust him, not with a Colossus. He's been acting odd ever since Lord High Admiral Lansung arrived. No, before then. This feud with Akaria, that's what started it off."
"Price is a decorated and capable commander, Lieutenant,"
Kulik said sternly. He saw a sudden fear in Schaffenbeck's eyes. Not the fear of the physical, but fear of reprimand, of failing in honor or duty. It softened the captain's mood immediately.
"There's a lot at stake. You heard what Lansung told him. Price is under a lot of pressure."
"I think he's buckling."
Schaffenbeck let the thought drift away as boots clattered on the stairs above them, heralding the arrival of Sergeant Lavram and his armsmen.
"Reporting as ordered, Captain,"
the gaunt warrant officer snapped off a salute.
"Got 50 men from the lance crew, sir, with shotters and boarding gaffs. Shall I lead the way, Captain?"
Kulik could hardly refuse, as the wiry man almost pushed his way past and shouted to his men to follow. The armsmen of the Colossus wore the same deep blue as the officers, with red stripes on the legs and piping of the same on their plasteel mesh reinforced jackets. They wore full-visored helms and rebreathers and carried stubby shotguns and las carbines, short-ranged but effective weapons, perfect for the brutal and bloody work of shipboard combat. Kulik started down the steps not far behind Latherham, with Schaffenbeck right behind him. The sergeant turned left at the bottom of the steps, heading aft, where the sounds of fighting were louder.
Captain, we have two more teleport registers close to your position, one astern of C-section, one in the prow sensor access tunnels, reported Lieutenant Cabrio.
Sergeant, we need to head forward. There's another lot of greenskins attacking the sensor arrays. If they take them offline, we'll be blind and deaf.
Right you are, sir, said the sergeant.
He performed an abrupt about-face, power maul on his shoulder, pistol in his other hand.
This way, lads! Don't dawdle!
Flashes of gunfire shone from the bare bulkheads a couple of hundred feet ahead of the party. The watch lieutenants on each deck were issued with keys to the firearms lockers when a ship went to general quarters. There were sporadic snaps of laser fire, but far more bass cracks and bangs from the orcs' slug throwers. Bestial growls and roars, punctuated by the wet slosh of blood, the snap of shattering bones and howls of pain, made Kulik glad he had listened to Saul and not dashed headlong into the melee. In the light of the gunfight, large brutish shadows were thrown against the walls ahead. Kulik counted at least a dozen bodies strewn along the passageway before them, contorted and battered so badly they were barely recognizable as human. With a sinking heart, the captain counted no orcish casualties among the dead.
Captain, the tech priests have locked down the sensor chambers and secured the prow bulkheads, but they say that the orcs have brought cutting gear with them. They'll be through in a matter of minutes.
Hartnell sounded calm enough over the comm, but Kulik could imagine the tension on the bridge. Fighting a battle was bad enough, but doing so while hulking alien brutes were rampaging through your ship, and capable of teleporting an attack seemingly at will, was probably testing the nerves of even the bravest officers.
"Do you think they know what's in there, sir?"
asked Schaffenbeck, looking paler than usual.
"I hope not," said the captain, "because if this is a deliberate attack to cripple our senses, the orcs know a whole lot more about our ships than I'm happy about."
"Best we stop them, eh, sir?"
suggested Schaffenbeck with a forced smile.
"At the double, please, Sergeant!"
Kulik tried to exude confidence with his voice, but his words sounded slightly shrill.
"Let's kill these orcs before they cut through into the sensorium!"
As the company broke into a run, Kulik and Schaffenbeck, surrounded by armsmen and shotgun-wielding ratings, the captain's hands started sweating profusely. It was odd, considering how dry his mouth had become. They rounded a corner into the corridor leading to the first bank of scanners. Fortunately, for all their guile in targeting the ship's engines and trying to disable the scanning array, the orcs were not so advanced that they had thought of leaving a rearguard. In fact, only about two dozen of them had stayed with the spark-spitting cutters at the bulkhead outside the sensor chambers. Presumably the others, having safely delivered the cutting crew to their objective, were off looking for more butchery and fun. Kulik would have breathed a sigh of relief had he not been out of breath from the running. Commanding a capital ship was not always the most physically taxing of jobs, and though he had made efforts to stay in shape, age was catching up with him. A glance at Schaffenbeck showed that the first lieutenant was at least reddening in the face a little. One of the orcs glanced back at the sound of tramping boots and let out a noise somewhere between a cry of alarm and a whoop of joy. Responding, the other greenskins turned as the first armsmen opened fire with their las carbines, filling the passage with red bolts of light and the scent of ionizing air. A few orcs fell casualty to the salvo, but a plethora of pistols and stubby-nosed automatic weapons rose like a thicket around the survivors. Kulik slowed his run as he stared into the multitude of gun barrels. The clatter of the orcs' return fire, combined with a boom of shotguns, deafening Kulik in the enclosed space. The captain fired his pistol into the face of an orc about 40 feet in front of him. The las blast ricocheted off the side of its head, leaving a scorch mark in its green flesh, but doing no greater damage. Bullets screamed and whirred past Kulik, inches away it felt. Saul was yelling encouragement, urging on the ratings as more and more of them fell to the scything orc bullets.
"Up and at them, men of Colossus!"
roared Kulik, without really understanding what he was doing. An armsman, just in front of the captain, fell sideways, his head and helmet scattering bloodily across the corridor. Two orcs, wielding the ramshackle cutting devices, turned their equipment on the charging humans. Lightning arced, catching Sergeant Latherham and three more men in a tempest of black and green energy. An unthinking rage fueled Kulik as he thumbed the power switch of his sword. A flickering energy field flowed along the blade, casting bizarre, jolting shadows on the walls. A tiny, more rational part of the captain's mind screamed in terror, but it erupted from his mouth as a wordless bellow of defiance. Around their captain, long boarding pikes held level, the lance gunners charged too, driving the tips of their gaffs towards the greenskins. Schaffenbeck had his sword in hand, its blade the near-transparent blue of tempered plasteel, alloyed with ardamite crystal threads. One-on-one, the men of the battleship would have been no match for the bestial greenskins, but as a mass, they pressed in, following their officers, united in purpose and momentum. Years spent working the aiming gears and exchanging the energy cells of the immense lance cannons had made the ratings tough, muscled men, and with the force of desperation and the shout of their lord and master ringing in their ears, they drove home their spears with irresistible force. The orcs crashed heavy mauls and cleavers against the metal-sheathed hafts of the boarding pikes, but to little avail. Pinioned in many places, the closest orcs were pushed back into their companions, the men behind the pikes twisting the shafts as they'd been taught to drive their weapons even deeper through flesh. Kulik stabbed the tip of his sword into the eye of a transfixed alien, ramming half the blade into its head, to be sure. On his right, Schaffenbeck slashed the guts out of another greenskin. There was no room for parry and thrust, cut and riposte. The captain lashed out almost blindly. It was impossible to miss, his only care to avoid his crewmen with his wide swings. It was not so much swordsmanship as it was butchery skill. Miraculously, Sergeant Latherham had somehow survived the strike from the electrocutters, though his chest, left arm and half his face were a mass of burns. There was smoke drifting from his hair and the ragged remains of his clothes. A single eye stared wildly from the mass of scorched tissue, filled with such loathing that it scared Kulik. The sergeant brought his glowing power maul down onto the skull of an orc, crushing it with a single blow. Another sweep caved in the chest of another. Kulik felt the armsmen surge again around him and was happy to be pushed back away from the melee for a moment, lashing out one last strike across the throat of an orc that was trying to bite the head from one of the pikemen. Shotguns barked, lethal even to the orcs at this close range, shredding bodies and obliterating heads and limbs. Kulik stumbled out of the side of the fighting, coming up hard against the bulkhead, almost collapsing as his head crashed against the stanchion. As ever, Schaffenbeck was just a step behind, in time to grab his captain to stop him falling over. Wincing, stars dancing across his vision, Kulik turned his back to the bulkhead and eased himself against it, taking gasps of warm, sweaty air. The corridor was filled with battle din, noises more animal than human or orc, shouts and sounds of flesh being ruined as the last of the aliens fought ferociously against the inevitable. Glancing around, Kulik could see at least a score of his own men dead, piled on the decking where they'd been shot, cut down, or clubbed to death. It then fell eerily quiet, the only sound, ragged panting, and the groans of the wounded ratings and armsmen. There was the bark of a shot. Men with shotguns and boarding pikes moved amongst the orc fallen, cutting and shooting off their heads to ensure they were dead. Kulik could see a few of the survivors tending to the casualties. An armsman, whose arm had been ripped off, was helped away as he numbly searched amongst the blood and gore for the missing limb.
"That's the last of them, sir," Schaffenbeck said with a weary grin.
"No, it isn't," the captain replied, heaving in another breath. "A whole bunch have split off, and the Emperor alone knows where they've got to." A huge shudder along the hull almost knocked Kulik's head back against the bulkhead, reminding him that defeating the orcs aboard was only one of his concerns. They were still in the midst of a massive space battle. He needed to get back to the bridge. Schaffenbeck was right that Price was not 100% capable at the moment, but he didn't want to abandon his men to the fraught orc hunt through the corridors of the battleship.
"I'll coordinate the purge from here, sir,"
Schaffenbeck said, reading the conflict in his superior's expression. "Get back to the bridge, where you can do the most good."
"Very well," Kulik replied gratefully. "Keep an eye out. I don't want to have to go looking for another officer, do you hear? Sergeant Latherham, I commend your bravery, but I'm also ordering you and all other wounded to report to the surgeon's halls. Call in more men, once the flight decks have been secured, Mr. Schaffenbeck."
The armsman sergeant looked about to argue, but thought better of it and accepted his captain's command with a stiff salute, the action of which sent a ripple of pain across his face. Two men stepped up to help their injured leader, but he waved them away and started off aft under his own power. "You know," said Schaffenbeck, watching the sergeant leave, "with men like that, we might just win this damned battle." Kulik was too tired to admonish Saul for his cursing. He pushed himself upright, sheathed his sword, and holstered his pistol. Straightening his coat and his back with equal effort, the captain started back towards the bridge. Medical orderlies were coming down the corridor, and he gave them a nod of appreciation as he passed. Action shaped thought, and by acting reserved and disciplined, some of Kulik's calm had returned by the time he was back at the bridge. The adrenal rush of the hack and slay of combat was ebbing away, but as he had told Schaffenbeck, they were nowhere near the end of this fight yet. The bridge doors groaned open in front of Kulik, and he stepped back onto the command deck. It took him a moment to adjust from the frenzied shouts and sweaty gore of hand-to-hand combat to the rhythmic chatter of servitors and the soft exchanges of the bridge crew. Behind the armored doors seemed a different world, and Kulik felt almost dizzy with the dissonance. He was brought back to focus by Price.
"Ah, there you are, Captain. I hope you enjoyed yourself disposing of our unwanted guests." "It's being dealt with." Kulik took in a sharp breath. "Admiral."
The captain assumed his usual position and passed a quick eye over every screen and console. The orc ships with the teleporters had been destroyed, and the squadron of cruisers assisting Colossus had broken through the orcs. Three cruisers were crippled and that many again destroyed from the flotilla. The rest of the Rimward fleet was not quite so badly mauled, having had extra time to respond to the orc ruse. The Corwood flotilla, which made up the starboard axis of the attack, was almost unscathed. The patrol flotilla ships were now in a position to turn back and trap a large part of the orc fleet against the main line of the Rimward fleet. Price seemed to be in the middle of ordering the relief attack, and half the flotilla had already started the manoeuvre.
"Communication from the flagship, Captain," reported Lieutenant Hartnell.
"Accept transmission," Kulik replied, crossing his arms.
A subscreen enlarged, filled with the static of a vidcom burst. The face of Lord High Admiral Lansung glared down at the men on the bridge.
"What are you turning around for, Price?" Lansung demanded. "The route to the Orc Star base is open. You will rendezvous with Commodore Semmes and continue the attack without delay. That is my command."
Price stepped back as if struck. Brow knotted. He signaled for the comms officer to switch to transmission.
"This is Admiral Price. If we abandon the Rimward fleet now, they will suffer badly at the hands of the orcs. They're taking on pretty much all of the enemy on their own at the moment. We must provide assistance."
The Admiral turned away and started to pace while he waited for a reply. Kulik stopped him at one end of his perambulations.
"Sir, I think the Lord High Admiral is right," the captain admitted. "We have to push home the advantage while the attack moon is virtually unguarded. The orcs have been trying to keep us away from the base as hard as they can, and I don't think it's as invulnerable as they want us to believe. The flight wings of the Colossus are needed for the attack, along with the rest of the carrier group."
Before Price could answer, Lansung's message arrived through the ether. He looked calm, but his voice was edged with rage.
"Admiral Price, I have given you a direct order. Colossus and all attendant ships are to join the attack on the Orcstar fort. Failure to obey will be mutiny."
"Ignore him," snapped Price.
"Continue to come about. Belay that."
Kulik felt Price's glare like a slap across the face and flushed red with shame, but there was no other option.
"Admiral, we must obey and join the attack. Officer of the watch, have the armsmen attend to the bridge and place Captain Kulik in custody. He is under arrest for insubordination." "Belay that order," growled Kulik.
The officers around the bridge looked on, horrified as they watched their two commanders arguing. The captain laid his hand on the hilt of his sword and stared at Price. He was shaking, scared more by this confrontation than by the bloody fight with the Greenskins.
"This is my ship, Admiral, and I have received a direct order from the Lord High Admiral. You will remove yourself from my bridge and remain in your quarters until such time as you have recovered your composure."
Price bridled, lip quivering with indignation. Kulik leaned closer and dropped his voice to a whisper.
"For the sake of the men, Do not require me to summon the armsmen, sir. Let us act like officers.
Kulik's words seemed to strike a chord somewhere in the Admiral's mind, and a hint of realization crept into his expression. He nodded mutely, confused, and then shook his head. Kulik thought Price was going to argue again, but the Admiral's shoulders slumped in defeat.
I am feeling indisposed, Captain Kulik. I think it better if I retire to my cabin at this juncture. I do not feel well at all.
That would be for the best, Kulik replied gently. I will have the surgeon send an orderly with something relaxing for you. Mr. Krasak, please assist the Admiral to his quarters.
Price nodded dumbly once more, looking every bit the old man he was becoming, frail and uncertain. Kulik could not understand what had happened to his mentor, his friend, and it cut him deep to see Ensign Krasak helping Price off the command deck. When the door closed behind them, Kulik drove the image from his thoughts.
Signal to fleet. All vessels to make all speed possible to the flagship for immediate attack on the objective.
Kulik realized he was still holding the hilt of his sword, his knuckles white with strain. He released his grip and flexed his fingers, forcing himself to relax. Emperor protect me, he thought, from orcs and admirals.